In this week's Parsha, Parshat Naso, we continue the theme that was begun at the end of Parshat Bamidbar, as Rav Hirsch describes the Kedusha of the Machaneh and the description of the various jobs who are entrusted, the people who are entrusted with maintaining that Kedusha, Kedushat HaMachaneh. And I recommend you, I'm not going to talk about this, but I recommend taking a look in Perek Hey, in Rav Hirsch, how he explains why the Torah seems to interrupt itself and to talk about the Parsha of confessing one's sin and Me'ila and Sota and Nazir. And it's important to look at that. We're not going to talk about that per se, but at the end of Perek Vav, we are told that the Kohanim have a certain job. They have many jobs. And one of their jobs is Ko Tevarchu et Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lahem, Yivarech Hashem Vishmerecha. And at the end, V'samu et Shemi al Bnei Yisrael v'ani Avrechem. And what I'd like to do is to spend a few moments discussing Birchot Kohanim, the Brachot of the Kohanim, which really would lead and will lead to a discussion of Brachot that we receive from individuals in general. Many people go to Gedolim to get Brachot. The Gemara in Brachot tells us that Al Tihi Birchat Hedyot Kala Beinecha, Birchat Hedyot, a regular person. I had the Zechut a year ago of being a Sandik at my cousin's son's bris. You know, the Sandik is the one who holds the baby. And what I wasn't told, I'm sure this is a widespread custom, I just didn't know it, is that the Sandik is expected to give brachot to anybody who asks. And I gave brachot, I've given brachot before, but I never gave so many brachot in one time. And everyone was laughing because my brachot were very specific to the people that came to me. They expected me to say bracha v'atzlacha and bracha v'atzlacha. And a woman came to me and she's pregnant. And so I gave a specific bracha to her, hoping that she'll have an easy delivery. And the baby should be healthy. And the marriage should be... And I went on and on and on, and they were chuckling because they expected a 5-second thing, and I gave them a 2-minute thing, and I'm known to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. So people were laughing, but that's what to me what my job was and what I felt a bracha was. And you'll see why that is so, I think, by the time this year ends. Okay, the question number one, before we even get to the psukim themselves, a general question. Again, end of Perek Vav, Ko Tevarchu et Bnei Yisrael. We've seen it. The Kohanim, we're going to ask 6 questions. We could ask 60, but I've tried to narrow them down. We've seen it. We've seen Kohanim get up and give a bracha to the community. And in my shul, it happens to be that we have a huge number of Levi'im in my shul. We have a very small amount of Kohanim. And it happens often when there's no Kohen at all, but it also happens, and some of you who know my community may even know specifically who I'm talking about, but it very often happens we have a shul full of people, and I'm even going to say big people, great people, rabbis and leaders, and a 16-year-old boy or a 14-year-old boy gets up there, why is he going up and getting this bracha? The broad question is, when do we see in Torah a position that is passed along hereditarily? people often say, kings, malachim, well, we see how well that turned out in Sefer Malachim. When do we see? I'll give you, I can illustrate the question in the following way. You go to a shul, and there's nine men in the shul. You have Rabbi Soloveitchik is there, and Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner is there, and Rabbi Aaron Cutler is there. Nine! And there's a 13-year-old Kohen boy. And I have nothing against 13-year-old Kohen boys, but who gets the first Aliyah? We tell Rabbi Soloveitchik, sorry, you're going to get Levi. We tell Rav Huttner or Rav Cutler, you're going to get Shlishi. But Yamo, 13-year-old boy, Kohen. Why? Why should that be? When do we ever say that? If my father's a rabbi, I'm a rabbi? Of course not. My father's a Talmud Chacham, I'm a Talmud Chacham? Of course not. My father's a Kohen, oh, I'm sorry. You get the first, you get the bench before anybody else. I'm sitting at a table with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and he, if I ask him to bench, he will first say, we'll ask the Kohen. 13-year-old boy says, Rabbatayin Avarech, what? And if the boy says, oh, no, I want Rabbi Lichtenstein to bench, he'll say, Birshut HaKohen. He just had his 80th birthday. I'm getting permission from this 13-year-old boy. I could ask that question over and over and over again. Why? When do we see that in the Torah? Why should that be so? Okay, that's question number one. The other questions are not as broad. We'll continue. Question number two. We read only a few weeks ago in Parshat Emor the halachot of Mumim. A Kohen, this is from the very beginning of Parshat Emor, Daber el Aaron lemor, ish mizaracha dorotam, asher yihye bo mum, lo yikrav lakriv lachem elokav. And the Torah, Parshat Emor, lists various Mumim. And the question is why? A Kohen with a mum, a permanent mum, cannot serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Every Musar Shmuz we've ever heard, who cares what people look like? Who cares what you're wearing? And all of a sudden, the Kohen, you have a mum, you have a physical problem? Sorry, Kohen, you've got to check the wood that's going to be used on the Mizbeach for worms. You've got to check the wood for worms. You can't really serve in the Beit HaMikdash. That's question number two, and the question is why? Question number three, those of you who've learned the Rambam or have learned with people who learn the Rambam know that the way the Rambam organizes his Sefer and the way the Rambam places halachot here and not there or there and not here means something. So you know that the Rambam wrote his Mishneh Torah. It's called the Yad HaChazakah, 14 books, Sfarim. The eighth book is called Sefer HaAvodah. Sefer HaAvodah, and Sefer HaAvodah, the Rambam lists many halachot regarding the Beit HaMikdash, Hilchot Beit HaBechira, Hilchot Beit Biyat HaMikdash, Hilchot Isurei Mizbeach, Hilchot Maaseh HaKarbanot. The second group of halachot in Hilchot, in Sefer HaAvodah, the second set of halachot are called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, V'Ha'ovdin Bo. Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, V'Ha'ovdin Bo. The Sefer, the halachot are, there's 10 prakim in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, V'Ha'ovdin Bo. Prakim 1 and 2 discuss Klei HaMikdash. What kind of kelim can be used? What happens if this kli becomes pasul? Okay. The following prakim, from Gimel all the way to Yud, all talk about people who work in the Mikdash. The Levim are in Perek Gimel. The Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol are in prakim Dalet and Hay. The Yisraelim, the Anshei Ma'amad, every Yisrael had a job in the Mikdash too, near the Mikdash too. That's Perek Vav. Perek Zayin is the halachot of Mimunim, the halachot of people, 15 special people who are in charge of certain things, people who kept time, people who gatekeepers, etc. Prakim Chet, Tet, and Yud, are about big day kehuna. You with me? So in Sefer HaAvodah, we have Hilchot Klei HaMikdash VeHa'Ovdim Bo, and the question is obvious. Why would the Rambam merge together? He wasn't paid by the word, and wasn't trying to save paper. Chas v'shalom, why would the Rambam put Hilchot Klei HaMikdash together with Hilchot HaOvdim Bo, or Hilchot Ovdei Beit HaMikdash? Why would the Rambam merge those two? It seems like that he should have divided, have one set of halachot for the kelim, important halachot, and one set of halachot for the people who work in the mikdash. That's question number three. Question number four and the next few questions really deal with some halachot, which I've printed for you. So if you take your source sheet, everyone has a source sheet, there should be two pages, two sides. Okay, here we go. So, take a look, for example, here we have the Rambam, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash VeHa'Ovdim Bo, Perek Chet, Halacha Dalid. Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says, I'll go kind of quickly, but you'll see in this halachot, for example, Bigdei Kehuna Mitzvatan Sheyu Chadashim Na'im U'Meshulashim Kederech Bigdei HaGdolim. Your clothes, the begadim, have to be made specifically for you, for your size, if they're too big or too small, or too loose or too tight, your avodah is psula. You bring a korban, and the kohen comes out half an hour later and says, I've got bad news for you. What's the matter? Was the animal pasul? No. Did the kohen have improper intentions? No. It wasn't shechted properly? It was. It was. The blood wasn't collected properly? It was. The blood wasn't brought properly? It was. The blood wasn't sprinkled properly? It was. So what's the problem? My pants were too long. Your pants were too long? Yeah, you got to bring a new korban. Why? Why is that important? Why should that be? Why does the Torah care about the fit, the size of one's clothes and the way they fit? Question number five is the next halacha, halacha zayin. Kol bigdei ha-kohanim einan ba'im ela mishel tzibur v'yachid shehitnadev beged mi-bigdei kehuna moso letzibur u-mutar. If you are a kohen, you may not go to the store yourself or hire a tailor yourself and make your own bigdei kehuna. Your begadim must come from kaspei tzibur. Your begadim must come from general funds. Why? What do I care where it comes from? Okay, it shouldn't come from a pasul source. It shouldn't be stolen. You should have paid the tailor properly. But as long as I did it properly, who cares where I get it from? It has to be sewn properly. I agree. Proper materials. I understand. But why can't I buy my own clothes? The clothes have to come from the tzibur. The next question, the last question for now, is from Halacha Yud Bet. And that is, Asur la kohen hedyot, the Raiva disagrees, but Asur la kohen hedyot, lilov sho, ela b'sha'at avoda. Ein ha-kohanim lovshin la'avoda, ela tzemer. Okay. The Halacha is that when you're doing the avoda, you wear bigdei kehuna. When you're not, you're not. You may recall, those of you in the Hilchot Beit HaMikdash Shir, may recall from Masechet Tamid Perek Hey that there's a number of, everyone knows this perhaps, that everyone knows that there are lotteries in the Mikdash, and if you come in the morning, you show up for work, and you go to the mikvah, you get dressed in your bigdei kehuna, you stand for the lotteries. The Mishnah says that if you do not win any lottery, if you don't merit any lottery, the Mishnah says, you take off those clothes and you go back to the Beit HaMoked. You can't sit in those clothes. Why not? Why not? Why can't I wait? Why can't I do other things? I'm not going to leave the Mikdash. Why can't I wear those clothes? And there's many other questions, but these are the six questions that we are asking, and I'll just summarize them. Question number one, we said, where else in the Torah do you ever find something valuable, something important that gets passed along? Hereditary, my father's a Kohen, I'm a Kohen, I get to have kavod greater than Rav Lichtenstein, greater than Rav Soloveitchik, because I'm a Kohen. What'd you do? Nothing. My father was a Kohen. Ah, okay, so you should get the first food, and you should not serve, and you should not, and you should get to bench first, and you get the first aliyah. Why? Question number two. We said from Parashat Emor, why do we care about Mumin in the Torah? By Kohanim, why is it such a big deal? Let me clarify in that question number two. Obviously, if the Mum doesn't enable the Kohen to do the Avodah, I understand. A person, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't have two hands, and so they can't Shecht properly, I understand. But if physically they can do the job, why don't they get the job? That's called discrimination, right, in the world today. If I can't do it, I can't do it. If I need a guard for my store. If a person can't run, maybe I don't have to hire them. But if they can do everything that my job description has, I have to hire them if they're qualified. Why is it not true by Kohanim? Question number three. Why would the Rambam have a halachot called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash VeHa'Ovdim Bo? Why wouldn't he divide between those two halachot? Question number four. Why is it the halacha that new begadim, that begadim, that Kohanim, the begadim of the Kohanim, the Bigdei Kahuna, have to fit properly? Why is that true? Question number five was, why can't the Kohen buy his own clothing? And question number six, why can't a Kohen wear his begadim when he's not doing the avoda? I'd like to suggest the following answer that really gives us a different perspective on Kohanim, and the answer comes from this week's parsha. And the answer comes from the psukim right in front of you at the end of Perek Vav. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor daber el Aharon. Ve'el banav le'mor ko tzavarachu et b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Ya'ir Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. And that's what we say in davening, and those of us who live in Israel, Baruch Hashem, have the zechut to hear it every day. And then the psukim end, v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avrechem. By the way, you should just know, you can put this in your notes somewhere, the expression ko tivarchu, or even the word tivarchu, you shall bless. It's a mitzvah to bless. Appears once in all of Tanakh, and you're looking at it in Parshat Naso. The word tivarchu, you must bless, you shall bless, appears once in Tanakh. Okay. So what does that last line mean? Visamu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? They shall place my name on B'nai Yisrael and I'll bless them. Rashi says that what that means is that they must use Shema Mefurash. And that's V'samuat Shemi, my name, my real name, says God. Shema Mefurash. And Rashi says, Va'ani Avarchem. And Rashi gives two explanations of Va'ani Avarchem. And I shall bless them. Which means when the Kohanim bless B'nai Yisrael, I'll agree to them. Or Rashi says, Davar Acher, I will bless the Kohanim. They're not going to be excluded from the blessings. Kohanim, you bless B'nai Yisrael, and I'll bless you. That's Rashi. The Rashbam says, Ko Tzavarchu, I'm sorry. Yes, Ko Tzavarchu et B'nai Yisrael, and V'samu et Shmiel B'nai Yisrael means that you have to use these words. My script, says God, you can't use your own script, not your own blessings, like that Sandik who made up his own brachot, you know, for 5 minutes a pop. You don't do your own brachot, says God. You read my script. And many, many, many other mefarshim give their own ideas. I like to share with you humbly. I'm not saying this is that Chas V'Shalom is the only way to look at it. It's more of a general idea of looking at brachot in general. I'd like you to look at the next source. It's kind of a long source. It's the Medrash Tanchuma on our parsha. I'm sorry, I skipped for a second. First, take a look at the Sifri. The Sifri on Bamidbar, Piska Mem Gimel. Va'ani Avarchem, says the Sifri. Va'ani Avarchem. Shelo Yehiyu Yisrael Omrim. Birchotenu Tzluyot Bakohanim. B'nai Yisrael cannot say, says the Medrash, that our brachot are dependent upon the Kohanim. Talmud Lomar Va'ani Avarchem, says the Medrash. The bracha is coming from me, says God. And the opposite, Shelo Yiyu HaKohanim Omrim, Anu Nivarech Et Yisrael. Talmud Lomar Va'ani Avarchem, Ani avarech et ami Yisrael. Don't misunderstand. Kohanim, I'll go in reverse. Kohanim, don't say that you're giving a bracha to Bnei Yisrael. It's me, says God. And Bnei Yisrael, don't think you're getting your brachot from Kohanim. You're getting them from Hashem. The Tanchuma echoes a very similar idea, maybe expands upon it a little bit. It's very interesting to note in Parashat Naso, and that's why I printed the whole Medrash, but I'm really just going to read the underlined. But the Medrash, the Piska of Siman Chet in the Tanchuma, starts with Yilamdenu Rabbeinu Kohen Balmum Mahu Sheisat Kapav. This Piska is talking about Balin Mumim. And we quote from Emor, and then underlined. There's a lot to read here. Please look at it on your own. Amra Knesset Yisrael Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam. LaKohanim Ata Omer SheYevarchu Otanu. God, you told the Kohanim to bless us. Ein Anu Tzrichin Ela LeBirchatecha. V'Liyotenu Mitbarchim MiPicha. Shenemar Hashkifa Mimon Kotshecha. We want you, God. Why are you using the Kohanim to give us a bracha? We want your brachot, God. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af al pi sheamarti lakohanim sheyihiyu mevarchin etchem, ani omer imahem umevarech etchem. I think that a central theme about Kohanim coming from our parsha will explain all these anomalies about Kohanim. A central message that we have to understand and internalize regarding Kohanim and Birkat Kohanim, and may I say all brachot, is that every single bracha comes from Hashem. The avoda in the Mikdash is for Hashem. The Kohanim do everything they can. They do everything they can, or I'll say they must do everything they can to be, excuse the expression, invisible. The Kohanim have to do everything they can to be invisible. They have to do everything they can to deflect personal attention. Sure, we honor them, but we have to remember that the honor comes because of God. Sure, they do the avoda for God. Sure, they give us brachot from God. And the more they draw attention to themselves, the harder it is for you and me. And how many people do you and I know that fall into this trap? The more we run into the danger, it's them. Rebbe, give me a bracha. I'm not giving you any bracha. I could be a vehicle. I'm not giving you a bracha. And as a matter of fact, just look at the next source for a second. The next source, this is from Emor. V'ki dashto. How do we sanctify Kohanim? Ki et lechem elokach u'makriv kadosh yelach. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem mekadishchem. And the Rambam quotes this lahalacha when discussing the obligation that you and I have to give them kavod, umitzvat asehi lahavdil lakohanim ulekadasham ulachinam lakorban shene'emar v'kidashto k'et lachem elokech umakriv v'tzarich kol adam yisraelin hogben kavod harbe. We got to give them kavod. Why? V'kidashto, because ki kadosh ani Hashem mekadishchem. Your Kedusha, your value, comes from God. Your bracha comes from God. And this answers, I think, it addresses all of our questions. Little out of order. First of all, we said that Kohanim cannot have any outstanding characteristics. And we said that Kohanim can't wear different clothes. They can't bring their own clothes, and their clothing has to fit perfectly. If you've ever seen a parade of soldiers passing by, it could be 100, it could be 200 soldiers, every one of them with the same boots, the same pants, the same guns, the same everything, and one guy has the, I don't know, clothes that don't fit, or maybe something about him, where's your eye drawn naturally to him? A Kohen cannot have his eye drawn to him. A Kohen has to say, I am invisible. I'm not doing anything. It's all God. That's why he can't wear the begadim when he's not doing the avoda, because it's not him. It's all through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not his. They are totally God's. And the focus has to be, he can't buy his own clothing, and he can't wear the clothing without doing the avoda. They're not my clothes. I have a nephew who had a very cool job the last many, many summers, I guess. He was a ball boy for the U.S. Open in Queens. Okay? U.S. Open in Queens. And it's a cool job. And he has to have a uniform. So they give him clothes. Some company sponsors the clothes of the ball boy. And what does he do after the summer's over? Of course, he wears those clothes. Why? Because they're mine. But that's not, we can't say that about a Kohen. I'm not criticizing him. That makes sense. That's part of his salary, I guess. Nice clothes. They're not his. They're not his. They belong directly to God. And that answers the first question we started with as well, I think. Everything in Judaism focuses on personal accomplishments. Everything in Judaism has to do with what you... Oh, your father's Talmud Chacham? I'm happy to hear that. You're not. You better work on it. And you're working, and you're working, and you're working. Ah, personal accomplishments. Look what you can do. Just because my roommate doesn't speak Lashon Hara, that doesn't help me. Of course, it helps me, right? Tov Litzadik, Tov Lishcheno, of course. But I can't ride on his coattails. I've got to do it myself. Well, those are the exact things. Personal accomplishments. Personal effort. Trying on your own. Lefum Tzara Agra. All these things is exactly what a Kohen is, what we don't focus on when it comes to a Kohen. So much so that Rabbi Soloveitchik, the great Rabbi Soloveitchik, the great Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, the great Rav Aaron Cutler, steps aside for a 13-year-old Kohen. Why? Is the 13-year-old Kohen getting any kavod? Absolutely not. The exact opposite. It's straight from God. It's so obvious. It's harder, as a matter of fact. If Rav Kook were in the room, of course Rav Kook gets Kohen, Rav Soloveitchik gets Levi, or Rav Kook is Rav Kook. It's almost highlighted more when your 13-year-old brother gets Kohen. It's so obvious that it's not him. It's obvious that they'll get precedence over Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Hirsch, if you turn over the page, excuse me, Rav Hirsch says this so beautifully, Kedarko Bakodesh, as he always says things so beautifully in ways that I could never say. The priests, this is on our parsha, the Kohanim do not bless Israel. Their words have no power of conferring blessing. Their mission is only V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. The blessing itself, says Hashem, I look after the blessing itself, says God, V'ani avarchem. To lay the name of God impressively on Israel, to make Israel the bearers of God's name, to impress the name God on every face of Israel, to proclaim that Israel looks to God, and to God alone for all protection, all revelation, all gifts, all elevation, and all peace, for this proclamation of God's name over Israel, for that, the priest is to be the instrument. To be the instrument for a nation that is to be blessed. Then God will bless them. But the priests do not bless Israel. It's all from God. There is nothing unique about a Kohen, and in fact, anything that makes a Kohen unique makes impossible for the Avodah to impress upon us over and over and over that it's totally, completely from God. This medrash that we quoted is the next Rambam, and it's quoted lahalacha. V'al titzma v'tomar u'ma to'il birkat hedyot zeh she'in kibul abracha talui b'kohanim ela b'akadosh baruch hu she'ne'emar v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Don't wonder, don't be amazed, don't be astounded why Kohanim can give this bracha, because they're not getting the bracha straight from God. I think this also explains, I'll try to move quickly because time is running out. I think this explains a Gemara in Sota, which I'll say outside. It's the next source on the page, Daf Lamed Tetem and Aleph. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was a very, very old man. And his students asked him, what made him zoche to be so old? Arachta yamim. So he says three things. First of all, he says that I never made the Beit HaKnesset, the Kapandaria. You can never have a shul used as a shortcut, get out of the rain, or to go through. It's a very important halacha. Everybody here should remember it. If you're ever walking through a Beit Midrash or a Beit Knesset, you don't just walk in and walk out. You don't just walk in and call somebody and go out. You come in and you use the Beit HaKnesset, even for a pasuk. I never did that, says Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Number two, he said, whenever, in those days, the teacher sat on a chair and the children, the students, sat on the floor, and if the Rav came late, he would have to step over the students and treat them in a bizayon kind of fashion. I never did that. Early is on time. I always came on time. And the third thing he said that got him, whoa, arichut yamin. Those first two ideas I understand. Those are really hard. Those are special. They make sense. What's the last thing he said? He was a Kohen. I never blessed Bnei Yisrael without saying a bracha first. Without saying a bracha first. Every Kohen that you know says the bracha before. What's the big deal? I think one can suggest our answer as well. What's the bracha? Asher kidushanu b'mitzvotav. Asher kidushanu b'kdushato shel Aaron. Vitzivanu livarech. If you don't make the bracha beforehand, if you don't understand the bracha beforehand, as an introduction, setting the tone, imagine a Kohen getting up there. A lot of kavod. Look at me, everybody, taking off my shoes, getting up there, standing on a little stage. I'm turning around, giving you a bracha. No! I made a bracha first. My kedusha comes through Aaron. Vitzivanu livarech. I got a bracha from God. A mitzvah from God, a tzivui from God. It set the tone. It was a hakdama. We'll call it a petach. We'll call it even a matir. I can only bless Bnei Yisrael when I realize it comes straight from God. Lastly, I think it explains, I'm not going to go through it in too much depth, but the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that there are three things you're not allowed to stare at. The Gemara there, and if you do, God forbid, if a person does, their eyesight becomes dim. One of them is a rainbow, one of them is a nasi, and one of them is at the Kohanim. And one could suggest that there's a tie-in between all three of these, certainly the way we're saying them now. I will tell you the Magen Avram, in Simen Kuf Chafchet, in the Mishnah Berurah there as well, tell us that b'di'eved, you can glance at them a little bit. It's just that you're not supposed to look at them for a long time. However, today, Zecher L'Churban, you're not supposed to look for a long time or not look at them at all, I'm sorry. But why? Why can't we look at them? The Rambam, both the Rambam and Tosfot tell us. The Rambam's in Hilchot Tfilah, Perek Yedalid. Excuse me. The Rambam tells us, Har Hesach Adat. We're afraid that Bnei Yisrael, the congregation, is going to be confused. We're afraid that the Kohanim will lose, will be distracted. But Rashi, the last source on the page, why can't you stare? Shashchina shora al kishrei etzbotehem. We do believe that the Shechina is found in many places. It's found between a husband and a wife. It's found on the face of someone saying Shemona Esrei. It's found on the fingertips. What does that mean? It means exactly that. You're not staring at their fingers. You're not staring at a simple person giving you a bracha. So to speak, kibiyachol, the Shechina is right there. It's not God. The Shechina is only the worldly representation of God. The worldly, I take that back, the worldly way that that God acts in the world, the way I see God acting in the world. The Shechina, it's not them. And I would suggest that so many halachot that you learn about the Beit HaMikdash, so many halachot that you learn about Kohanim, so many hanhagot that we have about Gedolim, remember and remember and remember, God forbid, the Kohanim are not giving us a bracha. That might be Avodah Zarah, if it's not understood properly. God is the source of all blessings. When a human gives you a bracha, it's not him. It's not her. It's straight from God. And we don't need shortcuts in our world. We're so interested in sgulot and shortcuts, and there's no shortcuts to growth. There's no shortcuts to becoming a Yerei Shamayim and a Shomer Torah Mitzvot. It's hard work. And recognize that these brachot don't come from people. And I don't rely on humans. I don't even rely on Kohanim to give me my strength. They may inspire me. They may know who I am, especially if they know me and they hear my story. I give you a bracha that you XYZ, like I told you what I did in the beginning. I was a Birkat Hedyot. But trying to hone in on what somebody needed, it's only the power of God. Not anything else, not anybody else. We should be zocha to see the Kohanim give the brachot in the Beit HaMikdash. Soon Shavuot is around the corner. We should be zocha to see the Kohanim give the brachot, recognizing and realizing that they're not at all them who is giving us the brachot. It's only and purely God Himself.